You're listening to the More Than the Music podcast, episode 46, featuring Mandisa.
On July 13th, 2016, I was in a deep pit of despair at this time. I hadn't opened my Bible in years. I hadn't talked to God in years. John called me up and said, okay, I'm ready to do this. What must I do to be saved?
Wow.
And so I led my brother to the Lord while in a deep pit of despair.
Wow.
And actually, you asked me earlier, what was the turning point? And this was one of the turning points. It was, oh, wow, God, you actually do hear my prayers.
Yeah.
And this whole thing happened because I thought that you weren't hearing me when I was praying for Keisha, but you actually heard my prayers from my brother John.
You're about to hear the hilarious story of why Mandisa stopped playing the flute in band, how her friend's death led her to be angry at God, fall into a deep depression, and even have suicidal thoughts, why a bunch of sticky notes on her car led to an intervention, and what song on Out of the Dark was inspired by her brother coming to know Christ. I'm Justin Paul, along with Mandisa, and we're going to talk about a lot more than just the music.
More Than the Music is hosted by Justin Paul, a touring musician turned national radio personality who loves the dramatic, humorous, sometimes tragic, and often inspiring story behind the songs from your favorite artists. You can connect with the show at wayfm.com/Justin. Now here's your host, Justin Paul.
This is the More Than the Music podcast, and I am so excited to be joined today by Miss Mandisa. Thank you so much for being here.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Man, I can't wait to hear the stories behind these songs. The brand new album, Out of the Dark, it's out now. And man, there are so many uplifting songs on this record, and we're going to get to hear why these songs are what they are.
Yeah.
But before we jump into the record, let's go back to the beginning, how it all began way back when you were a kid. Music's been a part of your life since you were little, right?
Yeah. Actually, I just posted this on Facebook. Somebody had sent me a video of them singing Unfinished, and it immediately took me back to those days when I would be in my bedroom. Of course, back in my day, it was Whitney Houston cassette tapes, and the curling iron was my microphone. And I remember doing that when I was a little girl, and things have drastically changed because we didn't have camera equipment or YouTube back in my day. But yeah, that was me when I was a little girl pretending to be Whitney Houston.
Yeah, you can be a YouTube star instantly now in your bathroom with your iPhone.
Yeah.
You know, back in those days, you like actually had to send somebody a demo to get,
exactly.
to get a record deal. Did you ever burn yourself on the curling iron using that?
No,
as a
it wasn't plugged in, Justin.
Okay. I've seen those videos, you know, with those little girls singing and they burn their hands on the curling iron.
No, you can't have the curling iron on.
Make sure it's off, please. Please be safe. Citrus Heights, California. Is that where you grew up?
Mm-hmm. You do your research.
A little bit. I mean, that was pretty easy. Just Google it. It's not that difficult.
Yeah, born and raised in Sacramento. It was called Citrus Heights and was there my entire life until I moved to Nashville to go to college.
Yeah. And was singing something you did in school? Was it something you kept to yourself or were you performing since you were a kid?
It's funny. I did not start out singing. I mean, not in school anyway. I actually was in band. I played flute. This was the turning point for me. I couldn't get my lips to do that little, I don't even know what you call it. It's like an armature. Anyway, it's the way that you pucker your lips. I couldn't get my lips to do it. And I personally think it's because I'm a black girl and I got black girl lips. But I couldn't get my lips to do it. And so I switched from band to choir because I could not play the flute correctly.
I played saxophone in band. So, I mean, a little bit easier, you know, with a reed and everything.
Totally.
But I remember, I'm a musician too and I love music. But I remember in high school playing the saxophone going, I hate playing these dumb marching songs. Like, go fight, go. Like, no, I want to play something good and soulful and fun. And
well, you can with the saxophone. I would think that would be an easy jump.
Yeah, I just wasn't good at it either. Yeah, I mean, if I'd have been good at it, it might have been a different story, but I was bored and not good.
It's like, a deadly combination.
Let's just move on to something else. Most people started really getting to know Mandisa when American Idol happened.
Yeah.
Season five. You were top 10, ninth place in season five. Man, that really changed your entire world. And like, that's really where music just started happening on a global platform for you.
It did. I mean, right before that, I was actually singing background. I worked at Lifeway. The corporate office is in Nashville.
Yeah.
And so I worked in the customer service department. And so I, through a series of events, I actually worked there after I got my degree in music because I felt like the Lord told me to. And from there, I met a guy named Travis Cottrell, who is the worship leader for an author and a speaker named Beth Moore. Mm. And so I traveled on their worship team for 5 years. And I remember the last event I did with them, it was in California, Northern California. It was December 2nd and 3rd, 2005. I got off of that stage. I flew to Los Angeles for Hollywood Week of American Idol. And that is where I kind of got thrust from the background to the front, and my life has been a whirlwind of craziness ever since then.
Mandisa, you're too good to be a background singer. That's right. I'm so glad you came up to the front.
That's hilarious. Well, let me say this. Some of the best singers you've ever heard in your life are background singers.
Got to get that girl up to the front.
Hilarious.
There were some comments on American Idol you've talked about before from Simon, but I felt like, man, I even watched a clip recently as I was preparing for this interview, just seeing like Jesus worked through you in those moments on the show. That has to be pretty cool to look back on and go, man, God was even using me in that way.
Yeah.
On a national platform, an American Idol. I mean, who would have thought that God would use you that way, right?
On a show called American Idol,
right?
Of all things. Yeah, I mean, that was a big lesson for me. And actually, when I think of the lesson that I took away most from my time on American Idol, it was ministering in the opposite spirit. So Simon Cowell came at me with a lot of hate and negativity. And so it would just kind of multiply the hate and negativity if I responded to him with that.
Yeah.
But the way that you pacify hate and negativity is that you bring in love and positivity.
Yeah.
And so instead of yelling at him and screaming when he made those comments about my weight, I told him I forgave him. And I said, the reason I can forgive you is that Jesus Christ died so that all of my wrongs could be forgiven. I can certainly extend that same grace to you. And he said he was humbled. He felt about this big and he apologized. And that's a great life lesson for me, is you can only chase out darkness when you shine the light.
Yeah. And you forgave him. And you even said this in your statement, I'm paraphrasing here, but you basically said, I don't need an apology to forgive you, which is so mind blowing to everyone who doesn't understand what Jesus has done.
Yeah.
And you can almost see the look on his face when I was watching this video. He's like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah, well, he wasn't expecting it. And they told him, the producers told him, Mandisa's going to come in here. You just let her take the stage and say whatever she wants to. So he was expecting me to yell and to scream. And the producers actually told me I could say whatever I want to.
Wow.
They were encouraging me to actually cuss him out because they said we can edit out what isn't appropriate for family hour television. So it's not what he was expecting, but that is the way to do it. And yeah, forgiveness, I believe, is more for the person forgiving than even the person being forgiven. Simon could have gone the rest of his life and never given a second thought to what he said about me. But by me forgiving him, I was setting myself free.
That only comes from Jesus.
Absolutely.
Like, that type of forgiveness, that type of, you know you've done me wrong, but I'm going to forgive you anyway. Mm-hmm. You really only understand that when you come to know Jesus and what he's done for you.
Amen. I mean, when I think of what I have been forgiven for, man, thank you, Jesus. Like, how could I not extend that same grace to somebody else?
Yeah. When you were eliminated from the show, was that a moment where you were motivated and propelled into music, or was that really discouraging and made you want to give up?
Oh, man, I was wrecked because I really felt like I was going to go further. And it's funny, when you're on the American Idol bubble, you're very sheltered. And I remember seeing, I think it was EW, Entertainment Weekly. They did an article predicting who was going to be in the finale. And they said that it was going to be me and Taylor Hicks.
Oh.
And then there was another article, I can't remember where this one was, but it predicted that me and Crystacci were going to be in the finale.
Oh.
And
so you see all that stuff.
Oh, yeah. It's all I saw. And, you know, back in my day, we didn't have social media. Like, we didn't have Twitter back then. And so, thank God. But yeah, I just remember getting sent clippings of articles and newspapers and magazines that did stories about me, and everything said that I was going to be in the finale. So when I got booted in ninth place, not really what I had in mind, and was really angry and disappointed, and actually, ironically, I've not thought about this, sent me into a deep depression because I really felt like I had heard from the Lord that I was going to be in like the top three.
Yeah.
So when that happened, I got really depressed and did the same thing that I did recently, where I just stayed in my house and ate and ate and ate and sank deeper and deeper into a depression.
Mm. It's so interesting to hear how different people react to different situations, because I've talked with the former American Idols on the show before too, and they're like, oh no, that was just a motivating moment for me. I was just gung ho. I'm going to prove you wrong. But man, sometimes it's just like the weight of the world just kind of crashes down on you.
Absolutely.
You don't know how to handle it.
Yeah. And we can't ever compare ourselves to somebody else.
Right.
Like, just the way that I'm wired, I am am an introvert, believe it or not. I know I'm really outgoing, but I'm energized by time alone. I am also super single. So I live by myself. I go home to my house all by myself. And it's just really easy for me to start listening to the lies of the enemy and just sink deeper and deeper into a pit when stuff like that happens.
Were there opportunities outside of the Christian genre once American Idol ended? Were you considering maybe doing mainstream music?
Yeah, I was. I actually met with a lot of different labels afterwards. And you have to remember, this was in the heyday of American Idol. Like, this is when 30 million people were watching. And so I met with countless record labels, mainly R&B, that wanted me to do an R&B deal. And I remember watching the first and second place winner of my season, Taylor Hicks and Catherine McPhee. They were on Larry King Live, and Ryan Seacrest is there, and Randy Jackson was there. And Randy said something to them that just kind of struck a nerve. He said to Catherine and Taylor, do the music that comes most naturally for you. And I don't know why that just struck me, and I realized R&B music isn't what comes most naturally for me. The music that comes naturally for me is about Jesus. It is glorifying Jesus. It is edifying his people. And the great thing about Christian music is that I can do it with an R&B flavor.
Absolutely.
But I can talk about things that really matter to me. And so that's when I realized that I wanted to do Christian music, and I signed with Sparrow Records, and life has been really amazing, and they've been the best label ever since then.
Yeah, because you are so open about your faith. Mm-hmm. Every interview I've seen, every article, it's been like, you're not afraid to say Jesus.
No.
And maybe this would have been an opportunity in the mainstream world to shine a light in the dark world,
sure,
but it probably would have hampered your ability to speak about your faith the way you do, right?
Absolutely. And when I look now, like, I just recently got back from New York, where I was on Good Morning America a little bit ago. I was able to speak very freely and openly about Jesus and how he lifted me out of a dark period. And the great thing is that because of that platform I got on American Idol, I can still shine a light in a dark world, and I can make the music that really speaks to my heart and is able to let me know at the end of my life that my life will have made a difference.
Yeah. You ever been like on one of those sets and people are like, yeah, don't say Jesus.
Yeah.
You can't say that here.
Well, that happened on American Idol.
Wow.
I sang Shackles when I was on that show, and whew, needless to say, the producers did not want me to, and there was a lot of drama leading up to that. But here's the thing. They said at the outset of American Idol, be yourself. Like, say things and sing things that come naturally to you. And I'm sorry, but I love Jesus, so it comes naturally for me to talk about it. And
right.
I don't feel like I need to hide that. And if people have a problem with it, then they're just going to have a problem with it. Sorry.
Yeah, it's in your heart. It's going to come out.
Right.
Like, if that's who you are, if that's what you believe, that's it's going to come out. You can't trap it. At least that doesn't seem genuine if you try to do that.
Absolutely. And I'm not somebody who thinks that people who don't follow Jesus, I don't think that they need to live their life in such a way that says that they do. Like, I don't expect unbelievers to live the way that I do. Unbelievers are going to live like unbelievers, but I'm a follower of Jesus, and so I have to live my life in such a way that reflects on that. And hopefully, as I shine my light, I can bring some unbelievers into the kingdom with me.
Absolutely. What are your thoughts on American Idol coming back? Because it's happening.
Yeah, I'm excited.
You are? Really?
Yeah, you know, when I first heard, after it went off, has it been 1 year or two?
Yeah, it's only been a year.
Yeah. Well, you know, at the end of that season, Ryan said goodbye for now.
Yeah.
And I remember thinking, oh gosh, would you please just let it die? Like, it had kind of, I think, run its course, in my opinion. And so I was actually happy when it went off air. But when I heard that they were thinking of bringing it back, I was not happy about that until I saw that ABC is the one that signed on to do it. And I need you to know, I'm a big fan of ABC. I've got some relationships there.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of Dancing with the Stars, and I just feel like ABC knows how to do reality TV right. And so I'm looking forward to the freshness that ABC is going to bring to American Idol.
I saw on your Facebook page you're already throwing some names out there for judges.
Yeah.
Kelly Clarkson, I think
Melinda
Adam Lambert.
Adam Lambert, I think they would be brilliant judges. Just first of all, Melinda's a great friend of mine, and so I know her, and I've seen her critique different artist, and she's great at it, and she's positive, so she's got a little Paula Abdul vibe. And then Kelly and Adam, they both were judges in this last season, and I thought they were amazing at it, so I would love to see those three.
I'm saying Mandisa would be a good judge.
Imagine
all the negativity you experienced from Simon. Imagine turning that around and you being that positive voice for somebody.
Melinda
on Idol.
Melinda can do that.
You're like, I'm out. I'm not doing it.
I'm actually not interested. I don't think I would be very good at it. I would be a little bit too sweet. Like, I would be unbelievably sweet, and then I would be judging people in my mind, and so that just wouldn't be good for anybody.
Yeah, it wouldn't come out of your mouth. Yeah. But it's like when Southern ladies are just sweet, you know, but they're really kind of insulting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, girl, you just have a pretty face.
Yeah. You know. Story of my life.
Yeah. Oh, no, please. Man, let's jump into this music. Okay, yeah. Out of the Dark. Man, you were on Good Morning America. A lot of people have seen that interview about how this record is just you coming out of the dark, quite literally. A deep depression set in after your last record, Overcomer. Mm-hmm. Take us from there to how we got to this album now and everything that's happened over the past several years.
So Overcomer was inspired by my friend Keisha. She was pregnant with her second child when she was diagnosed with breast cancer. Mm. And so I really wanted like some fight songs for her. I wanted an album full of songs that would help her stay in the fight till the final round. And I believed, as I prayed for her, I believed that God was going to heal her. So when her son Brennan was born, beautiful and healthy, and he'll turn 4 in June, that was my first answer to prayer. And I really expected that God was going to continue answering the prayers that I had lifted up on her behalf. Mm-hmm. So Keisha had 1 year with Brennan and her other son, BJ, and her husband, Briannis, before she went home to be with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And just not the way that I thought the story was going to end. It just shook the foundations underneath me in a way that I did not expect. And the result was that I was angry at God. And I shut him out. I didn't go to church. I didn't open my Bible. I didn't want to listen to Christian music. I didn't really want anything to do with Christian people. Like, I didn't want any light in my life whatsoever. I was very miserable but content in the dark, and any semblance of light made me feel uncomfortable. And so for 3 years I sat in my house and I ate and I ate and I ate, and those 120 pounds that I'd lost over the years, I gained it all back and 75 more to boot. So I gained 200 pounds in the course of 3 years, and I was miserable and felt utterly hopeless. Like, I did not want to live anymore. And I was listening to that lie of the enemy tell me that if I took my life, I could be with Jesus right now. And I got really close. But I always say it was my loved ones, it was the people that carried the light of Jesus that fought for me and would not let me stay in that dark place for much longer.
When my grandmother passed away, it was a similar situation. I mean, she was the most holy, God-fearing, praying woman I'd ever known. Yeah. And she got in a very bad car accident and it damaged her brain. And it was just, it was so jarring to see that from someone who loved God so much.
Right.
He's like, God, really?
Yeah.
Like, her? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's kind of how I felt.
Yeah.
I don't know how to necessarily answer all those questions as to why God doesn't heal when we know he can, when we believe that he can. I have to trust that he has a bigger plan, that he sees the bigger picture, and that somehow, some way, Keisha's death, my grandmother's death, will somehow bring life to someone else.
Absolutely. That is exactly what I'm seeing. And I love that you said that, because that's where I am. I'm still not at a place where I understand it all. And if I'm being honest, Justin, I'm still at a place where I still believe that the way that I wanted it would be better.
Yeah.
However, I am also at a place where I am learning to rest in who God is. I'm learning to trust in his nature. And even though I don't understand, and I need you to know, I'm a very analytical person. I like having the answers. I like being able to get it all. But I am in a place right now where I say, Lord, I don't get it. And I still don't agree, but I trust you.
Yeah.
And I know that I will see one day, I'll see face to face and I'll understand fully. But for right now, I'm just going to rest in who you are. And I know that you are for me.
Yeah. It's sometimes difficult to understand, like, Mandisa is the overcomer singer.
Hmm.
How does that happen? I mean, but you talk about your friend passing away, emotional eating, suicidal thoughts. I mean, these are things that sometimes on the surface people don't know because of the music that you make. Yeah. It's so inspiring. It's so uplifting. But was there a specific moment that you felt like breakthrough happened after that?
There were a lot of specific moments, but I'm going to say that one of them, and probably the most, well, not the most important, there were two, but the one that I think people most have heard about and identify with is the moment when I did finally choose to leave my house, but it was just to go to a movie theater. And after sitting in my house for 3 years and not answering phone calls, text messages, people had been banging on my door at one point in time, I went to a movie theater, I saw two movies. And when I came out of the theater 4 hours later, I saw that my car had a bunch of sticky notes, all of them. And I saw as I got closer, I realized they said things like, "We love you and we miss you and come back to us." And then as I started to open up my door and realize what was happening, about 8 of my friends were there in the parking lot, and they had been sitting out there for 4 hours waiting for me. And they pretty much had an intervention. And I want you to know, I was not happy about it. I was annoyed, and I was like, "How did you find me?" Like, I was so upset. But I look back on that now and I realize that had they not done that, I don't know that I would be here. Mm. And their message was basically, "We love you just as you are, but we love you too much to leave you there."
Yeah. I mean, I often think good friends are a representation of God. He's never going to leave you.
That's right.
He's never going to forget about you. Even when you push him away, mm-hmm. even when you scream and yell at him or don't answer the door, you know, he's always going to be there. And I know that there are certain people in my life that is so true. Like, it doesn't matter what I'm going to do. They're going to stick with me.
Yeah.
And it's so refreshing too, to hear people like that in your life.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Even at the lowest of the lowest, of the point when you push people out, they're still there for you.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Like, that is grace. That is love. That's what it looks like. And I've been thinking a lot about this lately because, you know, when God wanted to send his love to the world, he sent Jesus in bodily form. But when Jesus ascended, he said that we are now the body of Christ, that we are the hands and feet. And he calls us to community for a reason.
Yeah.
And I'm going to say, especially somebody like me who is super single and an introvert and likes her alone time.
Yeah.
We need people. We need to walk in community with people. And if for no other reason than because when you're isolated, that is breeding ground for the enemy. And you have got to have people that will speak life into those dark places.
That is, I mean, this sounds weird even saying this, but that is something I struggle with. When I'm dealing with stuff, I don't necessarily want other people to know.
Yeah.
It's very awkward for me to be vulnerable.
Totally.
And I don't want to burden other people with my problems. I feel like, well, if I share this, it'll just make them worry about me and drag them down. But what I've often found is that prayer is not a sign of weakness.
No.
It's a sign of how strong God is.
That's right.
And that the community around you wants to be there for you. So let them be there for you.
Exactly. I mean, if you think about, on the flip side, if there was somebody in your life who was walking through a dark time, would you think that this person is a burden? You know?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
But it's different for you. Like, you know, it's different.
Amazing. And that's the thing, is that the enemy wants us to think that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to keep us isolated into ourselves. And that is why God says, no, you have to be around people. And he calls us to carry one another's burdens. Like, that's in the word time and time again. So it's time that we actually start believing it.
The first track on this album is a voicemail before it gets into the song, "I'm Still Here." So I think you're saying with this first song, "Hey, I'm still here. I haven't gone anywhere." But take us behind the scenes on this song.
So that voicemail intro, it's just a snapshot of some of the messages that I received during that 3-year dark period. And you're going to hear messages from people who were calling me and their calls were going unanswered. Mm. Some of them, I'm going to be honest, I didn't even listen to. Like, I saw that they called and I would go months without listening to that voicemail. Mm. But I look back now at those messages and I think, thank you, Jesus. Like, thank God for people in my life who are going to reach out and fight for me no matter what. And then, that goes into my song, "I'm Still Here." And the message is this, like, I felt so hopeless during that time. But when I look back on the one thing that brought me hope, it was that I was still here, that my heart was still beating and my lungs are still breathing, which means that God is not done with me yet and my story is still being written.
Even that idea, just a glimmer of hope that yes, I still have breath in my lungs, there is still purpose. Sometimes, I mean, I know for you that was your reason to hang on, and for so many people who are there, that may be your only reason right now to hang on. But Mandisa is sitting here right now because she did hang on, and because there are people in her life leaving her voicemails every single day.
I'm still here.
Yeah.
the first single we've heard off this record is Unfinished. Yeah. And this comes from Philippians 1:6, mm-hmm. right? Where it talks about, I'm still working on you, not finished with you yet.
That's right. It's important for me because when God lifted me out of the pit, I was riddled with so much shame. I mean, it was unbelievable. I didn't, you know, after God started setting me free, I was still scared to let people see. I gained 200 pounds and my weight story had been very public. And how could I let people know about the dark things that I went through? And so I realized God, he showed me that scripture in Philippians 1:6, and I love it. Like, I am confident of this, that God who began a great work in me will finish it. And here's the thing, he's going to finish it when Jesus comes back. It's not going to be finished until then. Yeah. And so we can stop beating up ourselves and thinking that we have to have it all together and be perfect. No, God does not call us to that. He calls us to one day at a time, walking with him and letting him make us into the master piece he created us to be.
He started something good, and I'm gonna believe it. He started something good, and he's gonna complete it. So I celebrate the truth. His work in me ain't through. I'm just unfinished. Ooh. I'm just
Was the idea of being scared to share your story, was that something internalized, or was that something that you kind of have known from just the church in general? Because a lot of times, just being honest here, when you're struggling with stuff, we're told to keep quiet because you don't want people to think one thing about you when they, in the role that you're in or whatever. Yeah. Was that something within, or was that something you hear from the outside?
Honestly, I think we have convinced ourselves in thinking that it's from the outside. Yeah. I've never actually heard anybody say that to me. As a matter of fact, the only thing that I've heard since I started sharing this story is, thank you for sharing your story. And I don't even think that it is something that other people think of each other. Like, I don't think anybody says, you shouldn't share that, Mandy. So that's too personal. It's too much. I honestly believe that it is a lie that we have believed from the enemy, and that it is an internal thing that we have just believed for far too long. Like, no, let people know about the stuff that you're going through, because it's going to let them know that they are not going through it themselves alone.
God is not finished with you. You're not perfect. You're never going to be perfect. Yeah. So let's be open and honest about what we struggle with, because we know that's going to help someone else down the line.
Yes. And here's the thing. I am going to be perfect one day. This is not going to be until I see Jesus face to face. But ooh, I can't wait. I'm going to have a glorious heavenly body. It's going to be amazing.
I'm going to have hair. That's going to be awesome. I don't have to wear a hat anymore to cover up my baldness. That's going to be amazing. Bleed the Same. This song's got Kurt Franklin and Toby Mac on it. I mean, how many more powerhouse singers can you have on one song, Mandy?
Yeah, you know, this song was actually written, do you remember, it was the week of Independence Day. It was July 2016. Independence Day was on a Monday. There was a shooting of a black man by police on Tuesday. There was another shooting of a black man by police on Wednesday. And then there was a shooting of police by black men on Thursday. Mm-hmm. And it felt like the world was going crazy. Mm-hmm. And I remember getting on social media and feeling so overwhelmed and so disappointed in all of the yelling and the screaming that was happening. And I wanted to really have an anthem to let the world know, y'all, we do not have to look alike on the outside. And you know what? We don't have to be colorblind. We don't have to pretend like we don't see color. The God who created us made us all beautiful and different.
Yes.
That's right. And so I actually think we should celebrate those things. I think we can learn from one another. Culturally, there are some things that I'm going to do differently from you. But here's the thing. We are united because we are both followers of Jesus. Yeah. And we are covered in the blood of Jesus. And so that's what makes us one. And I'm just convinced that as believers in Christ, we should look differently than the world does. Mm-hmm. And we should be the ones that are showing the message of love and unity. And if nobody else is going to do it, followers of Jesus should be doing
that. I believe that is our job, because everywhere else, people point out the differences and say, this is why we hate this. This is why we hate that.
Yeah.
If we actually came together and talked about how much we have in common, I believe those would outweigh our differences.
Absolutely. And racially and politically, like, I know, left, you got the left, you've got the right, and everything in between. But man, I really feel like we could get a lot done if we would come together and listen to one another.
We've lost the art of being able to talk about our differences, of being able to have a genuine debate that doesn't turn into an argument.
Exactly.
We can't have that anymore.
Exactly.
Everything is an argument now.
Yeah. And I might might even go so far as to say, I love social media for a lot of reasons, but you are probably not going to get a whole lot accomplished yelling and screaming at one another on social media. So I really believe that one-on-one, like get with somebody who looks differently than you. Have some friends who come from a different culture than you do, and let's learn from one another and unite, and let's do it face-to-face.
It starts with love.
That's right.
There are so many things that my wife and I have conversations about that we just don't agree on, but I'm not leaving her.
That's right.
Not bailing on her.
Yeah.
I'm not going, oh, for that reason, you are completely disqualified. Exactly. I don't want anything to do with you.
That's right.
Because we love each other.
That's right.
And I think that's where every single relationship has to start, no matter what you're talking about. It has to start with love.
Yeah, that's how the Bible says that people will know that we are his disciples, is by the love that we show. We all breathe the same.
The song with Britt Nicole, What You're Worth, you guys are just championing young women, and I love this, and I love that you're doing it together. This is really cool.
Yeah, young women and old women like me. it's funny because there is nobody that I would rather have done this song with than Britt. Like, we just did an event together called Girls Night Out, and it's amazing seeing grandmas. We saw a grandma on the front row getting it. And then she was next to these little six-year-olds that were getting it. And I just love that we can have a message of our worth not coming from our outward appearance.
Yeah.
And this song was actually birthed when I thought of victims of human trafficking. Mm. The movie Priceless, the for King and Country movie where Joel Smallbone changed my life. And it helped me to realize we as believers in Christ, if there's anybody that feels strongly about freedom, it should be us. And so this should be a subject matter that we care a lot about. And so when I thought of them, I was praying for victims that are coming out of human trafficking. I realized that these people have their worth and their value tied to their bodies. Mm-hmm. And you know what? So do I, in a different way. Like, my entire identity has been so wrapped up in my body, my outward appearance. And so I really wanted to do a song that shows, no, my worth does not come from that. And couldn't think of anybody better to have with me on that song than Britt Nicole.
Yeah, that's something that not only young girls deal with, too. I mean, even for guys, we put a lot of our worth in what we do and our job and how that goes. And we, if it doesn't go well, we're failures. All of that matters. I believe what you do matters, your profession. I believe looking nice and representing yourself well matters, but that's not where your worth is found.
That's exactly right. Yeah. And I can say that as somebody who has battled with this for so long, like, I do believe that our bodies need to be temples of the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. I do believe that God wants me to be healthy. However, there is a fine line between wanting my body to be healthy and letting my identity be wrapped up in it. You got to fight.
Man, you've been very open about praying for your brother, John, to come to know Christ. Yeah. It happened.
It happened.
Actually came to know it. That is amazing. So cool. And you wrote a song about it, too.
I did. Well, so my song on Overcomer was called Dear John. And that was a song after decades of really wanting him to become a follower of Jesus. I finally just put it in a song. And so that came out in 2013. And you would not believe, on July 13th, 2016, please understand, I was in a deep pit of despair at this time. I hadn't opened my Bible in years. I hadn't talked to God in years. John called me up and essentially said, okay, I'm ready to do this. What must I do to be saved?
Wow.
And so I led my brother to the Lord while in a deep pit of despair.
Wow.
And actually, you asked me earlier, what was the turning point? And this was one of the turning points. It was, oh, wow, God, you actually do hear my prayers.
Yeah.
And this whole thing happened because I thought that you weren't hearing me when I was praying for Keisha, but you actually heard my prayers for my brother, John. And maybe you are listening to me, and maybe you actually actually do hear the prayers of your children. And so this was a big turning point, being able to pray the prayer of salvation with my brother over the phone. And then I immediately got on all of my social media platforms and I did this video of, you guys, you would not believe what just happened. So on the album, you will hear, it's called the Dear John Interlude. And that's the audio of that moment. And then that goes into the song Good News that I wrote with Matthew West about wanting to shout that from the rooftops that my brother was finally a believer.
Isn't that so amazing how God does that? Like right when you think he's forgotten about you, he has someone call you or something happens in your life that just reminds you, no, Mandisa, I got you. This thing you've been praying for, even though you might have not prayed in years, this thing you've been praying for and hoping for, I'm going to make that happen.
Yeah. And it was about my brother's salvation, but it was also about God reminding me that he was still there.
Okay, so I go through the track list and I see songs like I'm Still Here, Out of the Dark, Unfinished, Bleed the Same, Comeback Kid, all these uplifting, inspiring songs. And then I get to Moth Disa. And I'm like, what is Moth Disa? What is this?
Well, it's funny. So my friend, you will hear on Moth Disa, it's my friend Janine. She's actually my background singer. So anybody that has seen me live over the last few years, she's the beautiful Filipino background singer that I have with me. And she basically told a story of her seeing a moth that reminded her of me. And so Moth
Disa could be taken as an insult.
No, not when you hear the story. When you hear it, you will fully understand. And it was basically, there was a spider that was in a cobweb that was coming to devour the moth. I was the moth, the devil was the spider. And basically Janine intervened. She like banged on a window and, you know, the moth was set free and flew away and the spider crawled back to its little corner. And it was just like in her spirit, she felt the Holy Spirit say, that's Mandisa. And so she was one of the people that prayed so hard for me over those 3 years, and the result was that God lifted me out of the darkness. And so it comes right before the song, The One He Speaks Through, because I am so convinced that God gives those little whispers to all of us. Like anytime where you hear a name, just all of a sudden, maybe you see the face of somebody you hadn't thought about since high school, or maybe you see somebody on the side of the road whose car is stalled, and it could be dangerous to pick up a stranger, but there's just something in your heart that says, I need to go and get that person.
Right.
That is often the Holy Spirit trying to get your attention, because he wants to have an interaction with that person and he wants you to pray for that person. And so it was just a great reminder for me that God uses us. We are his hands or his feet, and he is often the one that he speaks to.
And he uses moths too.
He uses moths
to remind your friends to pray for Mandisa.
That's
today.
Right.
I want to go back and talk a little bit about Overcomer, which was nominated for 2 Grammys. You ended up not going to the Grammy Awards that year. Why did you not go to the Grammy Awards that year? What happened?
Well, this was after Keisha had passed away. And I was in a pit. I honestly didn't want to see people. And the Grammys, all of my albums had been nominated for Grammys. All of the others, True Beauty and Freedom and What If We Were Real. And this was my 4th nomination. I had lost all of them. And so I really knew I was going to lose this one as well. And honestly, I was okay with it. And I just did not want to be in that environment where I felt like all of the things that I was struggling with, you know, my value being tied to my body. And I felt horrible about myself. And I certainly did not want to be talking about Overcomer when my friend had just died. And so I was watching the Grammys on my computer. The pre-telecast is when they do those awards. And when they said that I won, I kind of couldn't believe it. And I wasn't there. And I look back on that now, and I'm actually thankful that I wasn't there. I was just really in a bad place, and I don't know that I would have been able to handle that at that moment. But I look back on that now, and I think of all the times to win that award,
right?
The one album and the one song that wrecked me, you know, that I had a hard time listening to. I look back now and I don't think it was a coincidence. Like, this life is certainly not all about awards. I don't want people to think I'm saying that at all. It's just that if there was anything that was a message that people were really responding to, it's the message of being an overcomer. And so, of course, the enemy would want to have me squash the message of that album and to steal the joy that came from that album. But now that I look back on that, I realize that God did really something great through that message, through that album, and I'm just really thankful. It's not the way that I thought it would turn out, but man, he is bringing beauty from ashes.
Well, I think it's just another reminder, as we've talked about this whole episode, of just how God uses things in all of our lives to remind us not only that he's there, I mean, even in a Grammy Award, in a pit that you were in a depression you were in after your friend had just passed away, God says, no, your music still has value. It still speaks to people. And maybe a Grammy Award is insignificant in the kingdom's sake, but for you, that had to be pretty special to know that what God was doing through you still had purpose.
Absolutely. Yeah, you started out saying that God would use the passing of my friend Keisha or your grandma. And I'm seeing that now. Mm-hmm. You know, the first song that I wrote for this Out of the Dark album was called Prove Me Wrong. And it's about Keisha. It is about my anger and my disappointment and my shaking my fist at God. And you know what? I used to think that it was bad to do that. But now I realize I actually think that God wants us to. You know, David, who was a man after God's own heart, he had an affair. He had somebody murdered. Like, he was not always doing things right. Yeah. But he also was really honest with the Lord. He would say, smite down my enemies. And how could you allow this to happen? And why are you so downcast on my soul? Like, he was honest with God. And so in Prove Me Wrong, it was the first time that I was honest. And when I look back at what God has done through Keisha's life and continues to do, I'm praying that a song like Prove Me Wrong, and I'm praying the album Out of the Dark, will help to lift somebody out of that pit that they are in, because that is certainly my testimony, and I want to be used to do that for somebody else.
And I read your ways are higher, but I just don't understand. Trying to hold on to my faith, but it's slipping through my hands. Prove me wrong.
There's no question that your story, that your music is definitely speaking to people, ministering to people, and helping people who are dealing with the same things you are dealing with. So I'm so glad that you are here to share the stories behind these songs so we can dive a little bit deeper. And I know that your words and your music are truly going to impact lives.
Thank you. That's what I'm praying for. And I appreciate you giving me the opportunity.
Thanks so much for being here, Mandisa. Thanks for listening to the More Than the Music podcast, episode 46, featuring Mandisa. If you've made it this far, you clearly love the show. So would you consider sharing it with your friends on social media? Any Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter share only helps more people hear the amazing stories behind these songs. I also love hearing your stories. You can email me anytime at justin@wayfm.com or just leave me a 5-star review inside iTunes. Tullaberry left this 5-star review and said, "The artists have meaningful conversations, inspirational and encouraging relationships with God, and they always have something uplifting to say. Fantastic show." Hey, Tullaberry, thank you so much for your comment. I'd love to hear from you. You can connect with the show, find links to my Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and even have a chance to win an autographed CD of Mandisa's Out of the Dark that was featured in this episode at wayfm.com/Justin.